You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. People have been trying to protect their cities from natural disasters for about as long as those cities have existed. Take San Francisco. The 1906 earthquake and fire was the most devastating disaster in the city's history. Afterwards, the fire department developed a unique system to try to prevent that kind of destruction from ever happening again. And though you might not realize it, you can see evidence of that system in today's city streets. In this story from our archives, reporter Audrey Dilling shows us where to look.
Oh, wow, there it is. There it is. We have a winner.
Hava Cronenberg is on a manhole hunt.
I'm pretty surprised we found that. I thought it was looking pretty bad.
Cronenberg is a volunteer helping a local artist with a project. She's biking around the city with her partner for the day, Lucas Keining, who's visiting from Holland. They've got a list of the potential locations of a specific kind of manhole. Their assignment is to find as many of these manholes as they can, take a picture, and grab the GPS coordinates using a smartphone app.
What do they call a manhole in Holland?
A put deksel, or a riool deksel,
What does that translate to?
So sewer lid, I guess, yeah. But we don't talk about them that much, I guess. It's not like the... The most interesting thing
in all. It's not like the subject of radio stories.
No, maybe not.
But these sewer lids are totally radio worthy. You might have even seen them around San Francisco. They look just like any other manhole, but these ones are each surrounded by a ring of bricks about 20 feet across.
A lot of people have noticed the brick circles around San Francisco.
That's San Francisco artist Scott Kildall. He's the one who sent Cronenberg and Keining out on their mission. Kildall is working on a project to make people more aware of city infrastructure. As far as he knows, no one has ever created a complete map of all these brick rings. So that's part of his project.
And then once you point them out to him, you can't not see them in San Francisco. Everywhere you look seems to be these brick circles. And I, like many other people, have wondered, what the hell's underneath those brick circles?
So what the hell is under there? I'll let this guy answer that.
Could you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Assistant Deputy Chief Ken Lombardi with the San Francisco Fire Department.
And what are we looking at right now? What's that brick ring?
Right now you're looking at a cistern, and it's a concrete vault underneath the ground.
Beneath the lid is a dark pool of water.
This is our emergency water supply. As long as we pull that manhole cover, there'll be 75,000 gallons of water there for us.
The cisterns are totally unconnected from the rest of the water system. There are no pipes running in or out. Almost 200 of them are scattered around San Francisco. And Lombardi says this is the only city that has them. To understand why, we need to go back to the gold rush. Can I get some period music? Excellent.
Well, in those days, San Francisco had several problems.
That's Robert Graysmith. He wrote a book called Black Fire, which is about six major fires that ravaged San Francisco between 1849 and 1851. And he's right. Back then, the city had problems. For starters, it was basically a tinderbox. The buildings were all made of wood, old boat parts, canvas, whatever was lying around. There was also no plumbing and no official fire department. Instead, troops of volunteer firefighters formed.
If you were a fireman, you were the elite, because these volunteers they were handsome, sexy. They had tight leggings and shiny boots and red jackets, but they risked their lives and they paid for their own uniforms, the upkeep of the engines, they paid for the engines. They did everything themselves.
They were also kind of the broiest bros in Brotown. They would race to be the first to the fire and sometimes get in fistfights along the way, which sounds even crazier when you understand just how hard it was to get anywhere at the time. What were some of the things they were up against? I primarily want to talk about the mud. I want to make sure we talk about the mud.
That's funny. Yeah, my editor, everybody loves that part. The street, you literally, to try to cross the street back in 1850, you're taking your life in your hands. There have been scenes where a guy's driving his wagon with all the horses and the whole thing gets sucked right down. He's still cracking the whip. And literally they would have to lasso people and pull them onto the planks built along the road.
Let's just say urban planning wasn't the city's strong suit. And remember, there's no plumbing. So the volunteers had to haul 2,000-pound water tanks through these muddy streets and then fight a raging fire.
Pumping the water was so difficult, you could break an arm, and people did.
And then, after all that work, sometimes the water tank would run dry before the fire went out. So some of the fire chiefs got together and begged the city for help. They asked for underground water storage tanks to be built around San Francisco, and the city built about a dozen, the first San Francisco cisterns. The fire epidemic stopped after 1851, and by the late 1860s, San Francisco had both an official fire department and underground plumbing. The city kept some of the cisterns full, but basically, they were old news.
They were a laughingstock of the city.
That's San Francisco artist Scott Kildall again.
People were wondering, why are we spending any money filling up these banks of water that we're never going to use? Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, when the 1906 earthquake struck,
fires broke out and the water mains burst.
And so the fire department couldn't put out the actual fires all over the city. And it was at that point that they tapped into these old cisterns that they had been diligently filling up every year and put out some of the fires in Telegraph Hill and Rincon Hill and helped save vital portions of the city.
Despite these few victories, the 1906 fire raged for 3 days, destroying huge portions of the city. Later, a national fire board declared that if enough water had been available, it most likely could have been put out in the first day. So in 1908, the city passed a $5 million bond to fund a backup water supply system, including separate pipes for fighting fires and about 150 new cisterns. These are all still up and running today, but
the reality is that most people don't actually notice the cisterns until you point them out to them.
And that's what Kildall's trying to do with his mapping project. Point them out.
What I hope people take away from the Waterworks project is that there's an amazing circulatory system that lives underneath our feet. And it's something that I think we don't think about very often, that we take for granted. The water just flows when we turn on the tap.
He's got us going a lot of places.
With help from volunteers like Lucas Kining and Hava Cronenberg, Kildall has made an illustrated map of about 120 San Francisco cisterns. It's his way of reminding us to pay attention to the stories underneath our feet.
That's part of being a cistern detective.
Yeah, come on, brothers and cisterns, yeah.
For Cross Currents, I'm Audrey Dillon.
To find that map of San Francisco cisterns, head to KELW.org.